Yeah, it was crazy actually. That's the weirdest game I've ever played with all the decisions. I think we started amazing 1-0 up. That early against Chelsea with 10 is very difficult. Yeah, 1-1 in the end, I think it's a very good result if you see how the game went.
So, Nedim, the Rob Pollard disguise.
Who is this guy? Who is this guy? You're George, is that?
Yeah, pleasure to meet you.
Good to meet you too, sir. Good to meet you too.
So, yeah, obviously, Rob's been questioning your commitment and saying that you weren't on one of the previous podcasts. And then, where's he today?
My commitment is unwavering, my friend. Unwavering. And I'm here when he's not here. And he's a full-time employee of the football club.
Shocking, isn't
it? Just let that sink in. Yeah, let that sink in.
This is a platform to bring in-depth interviews with players and also to out Rob when he's a...
Yeah, of course, yeah. And the best thing of all is that, you know, if Rob's truly committed to this podcast, he'll listen to this episode and know that we're dissing him from the get-go.
Absolutely. I expect the same kind of abuse in the next one.
No, I would never do such a thing. I would never, ever do such a thing, no.
Jill Broad today, obviously, one of our leading lights in the women's team. Brilliant start to life at the club since the summer. What are you expecting from her today?
I'm just looking forward to hearing her story. You know, she's obviously a fantastic player, and the way she started the season for City, there's the evidence as to why they were desperate to sign her in the summer. So I want to hear about her life, her footballing life, and just hear, you know, what makes her the person that she is, because by all accounts I'm hearing she's very good around the group as well as just on the field. And they're the best type of people you want at a football club, because when you're good on the field and off it, you become someone that people look forward to seeing. And when you look forward to seeing people, then it's far easier to do the job that you love so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to speak to her because, I mean, she's been at the club a couple of months and we've heard from Jill the player, but as you say, we haven't really spoken to Jill the person yet. So
yeah,
it should be nice.
To be honest, she'll probably be freaked out as everyone else is on this podcast when you ask the question like, when you don't ask a question about the weekend or a game or anything in particular. But I think for me, I think why this podcast is so good, it's not to do with Rob Pollard, it's to do with the fact that you're talking about yourself and you're the person that's best equipped to be able to do so. So to hear her speak and talk about her life, her career and so on, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic.
And we're also having the chance to speak to someone who had a fantastic World Cup with Holland. And she's come in and, like you say, hit the ground running at City. So this should be a really good one.
Not should be, it will be.
It will be.
It will be a great one. Yes, absolutely.
Well, without further ado, Jill Broad on the official Manchester City podcast.
Could have been one up. Here's Jill Broad though, and now two down now. That is magic. And that is exactly why Jill Broad has been brought to Manchester City. A moment of magic, a piece of brilliance, a brilliant, brilliant finish.
Jill Broad, thank you for your time today. We always start the podcast by looking at your early life and sort of first ventures into football. So straight off the bat, how were things for you growing up in Holland and getting into football?
Well, I come from a football family. My dad used to play professional. I have two brothers, an older one and a younger one, and we always played football outside at school. I was obsessed with football, and it's not even that my dad, he was like, you don't have to play football, you can try other sports, but I've always wanted to play football, and at some point it got very serious.
Who did your dad play for?
It's called Quick 20. It's in the town where I grew up. It's like an amateur club, but actually we always played on the highest level. And I always played in boys teams. And some of the boys also play professional now. So we had a really good team. We would win everything. And I really, I had a great time, actually.
It's really nice. I imagine as well, you've said that your dad sort of wanted you to go into football if you wanted to, but it was completely your decision. That must have taken that pressure off, must have helped you make that decision almost.
Yeah, I mean, when I grew up, I wanted to play football, so he didn't force me to, not at all. But at some point when it turned out that I had talent and that it could be something, he got a bit more, like he got serious with me. So I think that helped me a lot. Not always easy, but I think that was very important in my career so far.
When you were younger, who were the players that you sort of looked up to? Were there any women or was it mostly men?
No, to be fair, I didn't know anything about women's football. It didn't really exist yet. anywhere not in Holland. So I would look at, yeah, Ronaldinho was my Wesley Sneijder, these kind of players. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some good players there.
To very,
very, very good players, yeah.
There's a bit of Wesley Sneijder in how you play as well, sort of between the attack and everything like that. I imagine it's kind of rubbed off on you a little bit.
No, yeah, I mean, I loved how Wesley Sneijder played. I think everybody in Holland did at that point. But yeah, we had some good players.
Which team did you support?
So I grew up in Twente.
Yeah.
So obviously I played there, so I supported that team. But yeah, Ajax was and still is. Right now they're going through a tough time, actually. But yeah, for me, the favorite team in Holland anyway.
Okay. Yeah, really sorry for the pronunciation of Twente. So you can have a go at me after. You obviously came through the youth ranks there as well. Was it 13 when you joined?
Yeah.
But was there a particular moment where you kind of thought, you know what? I think I could make it when you're in that team.
Yeah, so I was the first girl in Holland that would play for a professional team in a boys team. So I played for Twente. They had women's team, like girls teams, but I played in the, what was it, under 15 boys. So that was pretty serious because I got a spot where another boy got sent away. So that was... It was pretty serious, but it's also like how I was very serious. So I think, yeah, around that age, 13, I got selected for national team under 15. So then it gets serious.
Did you feel the pressure or was it just a case you enjoyed your football?
No, I enjoyed it. I think pressure came much later.
It's quite interesting as well that the first female player to be in that situation playing professionally for a boys team. Do you remember the conversations that were maybe had for you to find out about that? And I imagine that your family were very proud as well.
Yeah, so the thing was I was 14, I think, 13, 14, and there was a women's team, Twente. They were the best in the league also, but that age gap was massive. There were women who were like 30, so that was like double my age. And they had also a youth team, but yeah, I played higher than the youth team already. So the thing was, Twente wanted me at the club. So they said, okay, well, we're going to put you in a boys team and see how that goes. And it was fine, actually. It went great.
Yeah, when you say it went great, how were you received by those players?
I think, so I'm from the East. People there are more like down to earth. I think maybe if I would play for Ajax, it would be a bit different. But where I grew up there, so most of the boys I sort of knew a bit, either from school or I played against them. So yeah, the boys knew me, so it was fine. And I played like I was fine, I was good enough. So I think that was the most important thing. It was more when we had away games, when I would play against Ajax, they would need like a dressing room for me and stuff like that. And then it was more like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Did it help you when you went on to actually make your senior debut a few years later that you'd been playing potentially in something that was a bit more physical or than what you maybe had if you'd stayed on the other side of things?
Yeah, I think for me playing with the boys for such a long time was key. Speed of the game it's much faster and yeah, I developed a lot there.
And then winning a lot of trophies as well when you actually make your senior debut. I was looking earlier, Twente at the time, I think just won the league for the first time when you made your debut that season and going on. I mean, the two of you will know a lot more than me. I imagine as a footballer, when you're winning things, it becomes a bit of a habit and an addiction.
I did not win as many things.
More than me.
So please direct the question to Jo. She's the one on this one. I can't comment.
Yeah. I imagine when you get into that taste of winning stuff, it's just something that you want more and more every time.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think it's harder if you, like, I remember we won four years in a row, we won the championship. And the fifth year, we weren't as hungry as Ajax, for example, as the other teams were. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's a fine line, I think.
Yeah. And you finished as top goal scorer, I think, in one of those.
One season, yeah.
Goals has obviously been a massive part of your game. We've seen that already when you've been at City. Was that something that you had to develop and practice, or was it sort of a natural eye that you had from those early years?
I think it's something I've always had. Obviously, you go through phases, but for example, my dad is that's the first thing he says after every game. You were looking for a goal or you were not looking for a goal. So it made me very aware of it and made me look for it more, I think.
Then you moved to Bayern Munich and you're still quite young at the time. Yeah. So I imagine there was quite a lot of nerves and pressure to move to such a massive club at that time.
Yes, so they already wanted me the year before and I decided not to go. I was very comfortable at home. I love being at home. I love playing for Twente. It's where I grew up. But I needed to make a step. But the year before it came too early. Like I was not ready. I didn't feel like, oh, this is what I want. So I decided not to go, which was maybe a bit of a risk, but they came again a year later and I also forced myself, like, I have to go now. It was not easy. I think Bayern Munich is also, like, the German culture is difficult. So especially if you're young and it's your first step, it's very different. But I think it was very important and I grew up there really fast. And yeah, I think it was a good step for me.
How did it differ from what you've been used to in Holland?
The whole culture is just different. It's way more strict. Things like you have to wear the same stuff all the time. You have to be on time. And on time is not 1 minute before, but like 10 minutes before. Like, so all these things. And if you don't do that, you feel it in training or like... And that's sometimes that's difficult, especially for me. Like, I'm used to the opposite. But yeah, it was fine. It was good for me.
I think I'd struggle with that if I had to be somewhere 10 minutes early.
Yeah, it can catch you out that, to be honest. Yeah. It is a weird feeling. Say if you're the last person to get somewhere, it doesn't mean that you're late.
No.
But in some places, they look at you as if you're late, even though you're 10 minutes early. But it's a lesson. It depends on the culture of the club, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean, I am just late sometimes. It's one of those problems, so I'll be completely done in. I suppose with Bayern Munich, you were there for a couple of years. How significant did that move feel for you to where you are now? If you look back and sort of look at the clubs you've been at, how important was that move?
Yeah, very important. I think physical, completely different also to Holland and Germany. Like, there's a lot of gym, there's a lot of fitness. So that was very important. And also, as I said, I think I grew up there very fast and that was definitely necessary.
And then you decide on a move to England.
Yes.
Obviously with Arsenal. Just talk us through that decision.
Arsenal came at some point. It felt right immediately. And obviously there were many Dutch people. Also before that, there were some Dutch players. So I knew they all really loved it there and the way they play. And I'm also someone I like to have challenges, adventures. I cannot be at one place for too long, especially not when I was that young. So I liked something new, and Arsenal's obviously an amazing club, the English League. I was curious about that, so it seemed like the right step.
When you say you like something new after not too long, does it depend how well the experience is going, or do you just like to go somewhere new regardless?
No, definitely. And also, I mean, it depends also on what comes. Like, if Arsenal wouldn't have come, or maybe some other club, I maybe would have said no. But yeah, like, I mean, I was going to say I get bored quickly, but it depends on how I feel.
Yeah.
So that's obviously key, yeah.
In that Arsenal team you've mentioned, there was, I mean, just to name a few, Van der Donk, Miedemar, and I believe you're obviously quite close with both of them still. Yeah. Imagine going into a new club, a new culture, new country, new language, everything like that. Having those people around you, that little bit of familiarity must be so significant.
Yeah, it's nice. I think I am pretty easy. So it's not something that it's not that I get very nervous, like, ooh, new club, new people. But at the same time, it's nice, especially Viviana. Like, we grew up together, so it's nice that she was there for me. And to be fair, like, I see now also English people are very similar to Dutch people, so it was easy.
I do, yeah. We talk about Vivi, I imagine it's Viviane Miedemar.
Yeah.
Not on first name basis.
Miedemar, sorry.
I've just got to check that before I go in. I imagine that, like, if you've been with somebody going through the youth system or like playing for the national team, it must be really nice, and you must have had it as well, Nedim, when you see people working through at the same time and seeing what they go on to achieve. And there must be a lot of, you want to beat them on a Saturday if you're playing them, but a lot of pride as well in how well they're doing as well as how well you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. Especially Fifian, Midema and I. Yeah, we went through all the teams together, and like we also with the youth teams, we won many things. So, and we also had a very special connection on the pitch. So, yeah, it was also like something I looked forward to be playing with her at the club. And yeah, like right now, obviously she's injured, but I'm definitely proud of everything she has achieved so far. Yeah.
Did you speak to her or any other Dutch players before you moved to City this summer?
No, nobody. No. But she told me, actually, she texted me, like, you will like it, it suits you.
Good. Well, yeah, it does. It does, definitely it does. It does. I suppose as well, when you were playing for Arsenal and you faced City a couple of times, slightly different team back then to what it is now, but what were your experiences of coming up against that City team?
Yeah, it was always difficult for us. I don't think I won once, to be fair. Yeah, I think the way City plays is it's very difficult to defend them, to press them, to get the control of the game. And I'm experiencing that now, obviously. I think City plays very different than any other teams in women's football, I was going to say. I mean, Barcelona, obviously. But other than that, there are not many teams that play this controlled football. So playing for Arsenal against City was always like, yeah, didn't touch the ball many times.
What's the best thing you think about your style of play?
Me as an individual?
You as an individual, yeah.
Keeping the ball.
Okay. And do you mean in terms of just general play or in terms of attack as well, when you say keeping the ball?
Yeah, I think attack, like turning forward and either go wide or like...
But then it's always about goals.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I like, because they're keeping the ball. I was surprised, I didn't think you were going to say that, because that can be something which helps, but not everybody understands.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's playing for City. I'm obviously very happy she's playing for City, especially with all the goals that will be coming as well. Yeah.
I mean, that turn against West Ham on the opening day for the goal, I don't know if you've seen it. Something so simple, like you don't even touch the ball. It's just purely in your body movement. It was, I mean, I was lucky enough to be there. It was amazing.
What was the name of the club that your father played for again?
Twente.
Okay, so do you prefer now living in bigger cities or smaller cities?
So I think I've changed my mind with this many times. Okay. I think right now I like living in a bigger city, but I think in a few years I would prefer peace.
Peace.
Yeah, smaller city.
Isn't that when you just move out to the outskirts of the bigger city?
Yeah, fair enough.
See, this is it. I'm trying to keep her here for as long as possible. You know, this live in the suburbs of Manchester is fine. Yeah. It's fine, yeah.
Gareth will be buzzing that you've
I'm listening, I'm trying my best. Secret agent. Yeah.
Are you living in the city, in Manchester at the moment?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
How have you found that so far?
No, I really like it, actually. I've lived in London, Munich, Wolfsburg, very different, but I never really lived in the city. Now I do, actually, and it's nice. Like, if I'm bored, I go outside and there's lots of things to do, to see. And also people like to visit me here more. I've noticed, so.
Always ideal.
Yeah, that's nice as well.
Yeah, there seems to be a really good squad togetherness in this mm-hmm. team. Whenever we speak to anyone, they talk about how close this whole team is. Imagine in a city like that, there's other players that live in the city as well. So I imagine there's lots to be doing, lots to be getting on with as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we all live pretty close to each other. So, yeah, we do many things, yeah.
Throughout your career so far, which season, and it's not necessarily related to the team success, but which season do you think you've played the best to how you wanted to play?
That's an interesting question. I think it was my first season at Wolfsburg.
Okay.
Because of my goals and assists.
How many was it?
I don't know, actually. I don't know the exact number.
That means it's
lost count.
That means
lost count.
No. But I think that was, for example, at Wolfsburg, we played very direct football, very different from here. And I was a bit the the weird one, who is more the football one, but that worked very well in that first season. And we played really with 110, which was me, so I had a lot of space. So
you win the double that year? Was it that year, a league and a cup? Yeah.
It's a pretty good season.
Very. Yeah. And then season after that, getting to a Champions League final and winning the cup again. I mean, your time at Wolfsburg, it was brief, but as you say, there was so much success to go with that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's also the reason why I wanted to go to Wolfsburg. Obviously, I was fine at Arsenal, but I felt like I wasn't as special there as I would be at Wolfsburg because of there were more players that were similar to me at Arsenal. It turned out actually very well. I was, as I said, I was a bit the odd one, and we won a lot. I scored a lot, but as I said, also as a team, we won a lot. So there were two very good years.
Yeah. This might be quite a sort of what's the word? Sort of directed question, but like you've just got to a Champions League final, you've won two cups and the league 2 years at Wolfsburg. Why did you then want to come to City off the back of that?
I noticed a bit of a difference in my first season and the second season at Wolfsburg in terms of the way we played. I think Wolfsburg, they have a lot of qualities. They play very direct football, as I said, and there were many games where I wouldn't touch many balls, which also wasn't necessary because we had speed up front, we had pop with headers, crosses and everything. But I felt like in the second season it was less football than in my first season. And I was scared it would stay that way. And I think with City, it suits me perfectly. And it's also a feeling that I got from the chats with Gas and the club, and the English league is obviously the best league at the moment.
I mean, looking at your first few weeks, you've joined this team and settled in perfectly. Is there anyone in particular that you've maybe been surprised by of how well they've sort of performed, or on the training pitch you're thinking, wow, actually I knew they were good but they've gone up a level? Or has anyone also said something similar to you, even sort of said, I know what you can do, but
there are a few people, obviously. In prison I played a lot with Hempel on the left side. Obviously I know she's an amazing player, but I think in training you can really see how good she is, and in games playing with her. And same for Bunny. I didn't really know Bunny from name and from the statistic, but I've never really seen her play that much. But yeah, she's a very special player.
There's a lot of been a lot of talk as well, obviously, about the Chelsea game that happened recently. I mean, what a game it was. I mean, to watch as a spectator, but what was that like to play in as well? Because I mean, it had everything, didn't it, that game?
Yeah, it was crazy, actually. That's the weirdest game I've ever played with all the decisions. I think we started amazing 1-0 up, and then we got a red card in, what was it, 27 minutes. Well, obviously, that early against Chelsea with 10 is very difficult. And I was just thinking, yeah, we need to get to half time at least with this score, and then second half, then we can have a rest and talk, and then the second half we'll see. In the meantime, many people got yellows for, like talking. And I don't know, like, I never really had the feeling that they got very dangerous. The second half continued and they had the ball, obviously, all the time, but they didn't really create much. So I think the longer it stayed 1-0 for us, like, the more belief you have. Obviously, then Hempel got red as well. That was a bit too much, 11 versus 9. And I think where they scored, we had even Alana had to go out. So, 1-1 in the end, I think, is a very good result if you see how the game went.
And the way that the team's been playing, I mean, that game was an example of the grit to go with the quality that's got. But when you come off the pitch and sort of the dust settled a little bit, does it make you think, this team, you know what? I don't want to tempt fate here, but this team could go the distance here. It must be quite exciting.
No, I think I actually think that game, like, helped us a lot, like, can help us a lot. Because from what I've heard, this team plays very good football, but the side that, like, what we showed against Chelsea, that's what's sometimes missing. So I think this can very, like, help us a lot. And, I mean, it brought us more together, I think, as well.
Just finally, I wanted to talk about your international career so far, because you've obviously, to say that you're still approaching your peak years, you've made almost 100 national team appearances, which is incredible. And then this summer as well, is it 4 goals, which is, I believe, the most for a Dutch player at a Women's World Cup single tournament anyway. I mean, how special is it to represent your country, and how proud are you of what you've achieved so far?
Yeah, I love playing for Holland. Obviously, it's special. And yeah, I've been there since I was 17. I made my debut. I mean, there were tough times also. I've been on the bench for quite a bit, for a few years. So I had to wait long. But right now, since a few years, I've been playing everything. And I love it. It's special. I think we have a special group. And last few years we had difficult times, but I think right now we're going in the right direction again, and let's see what we can do in the next years.
Do you feel like, obviously it was Spain in the World Cup and went to extra time and so on, do you feel like if you'd played Spain later in the tournament or just avoided them at that point that you could have got even further?
Yeah, I think any other team at that point we would have beaten. Just Spain is, I mean, Spain is a very good team anyway. I think they deserve to win also, but they also don't suit us at all. So I don't think if later in the tournament we would have beaten them, but I think any other team we would have. So that was a shame, but yeah.
And just finally as well, I wanted to talk about the piece of silverware you won with Holland, 2017 Euros. Serena Wiegmann, obviously, as manager, someone that English listeners will know very well from her time with the Lionesses. What was she like to work under? You give us a little insight of what it's like to play in a Serena Wiegmann team.
She's very passionate, very clear, I think, very direct. She knows what she wants and what she expects from you. And she will tell you that, so everybody knows their role pretty well. What can I say? She's been so successful with us, with England. I think she's a very special coach, and I hope for us that that it stops at some point with England. But she's a great coach.
Well, you got a win in the Nations League recently, didn't you?
True.
You never know. Well, Jill, thank you so much for your time. Just a few more. We always ask the same questions, I believe. Rob's told me that we always sort of go through. So, first one, it's more sort of about football in general. If there was something you could change in football, what would it be? And this doesn't just mean a rule, does it?
No, it could be anything, yeah.
So I think Rico Lewis, which Rob said before as well, he said social media, he'd take that out. And Calvin Phillips said, I'd rather it was more old school or something like that. But if anything at all in football, you'd want to change.
I would like to have that subs that we can make unlimited subs and that they can go on and off.
Rolling subs, okay. Is this because you want a break or?
Sometimes I need a break.
Okay.
No, but like basketball, yeah. I think that would be good.
You could have kickers as well, couldn't you?
Like what, for like
exactly.
Set pieces?
Yeah.
The problem is if you then miss your penalty or whatever, then you get put back on the bench and never be seen again. That's the downside. That's fine,
yeah. But imagine if it puts it comes off.
It's true. It's a good point.
That's a good one, that. Bear that down. The next one is there anything in particular that you've binged recently, whether it's a film or a podcast, a box set, anything like that?
I watched the Beckham documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really liked, yeah.
It was good, wasn't
it? Interesting, yeah.
I mean, he'd be a great one to come on as a rolling sub. Imagine him as a kicker coming on.
Yeah, this is true. But it's a blue podcast. We don't talk about that.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll move on.
You're better than that.
Move on very quickly.
Let's cut that.
Talk about him as England, though.
Let's cut that out.
He went on loan to Preston for a bit. We'll talk
still,
about
no reds on it.
And just finally as well, if you'd like to delve into the bowl, we've changed things slightly because it used to be The format used to be that the previous person would leave a question.
Okay.
But we've mixed it up slightly to make it a bit more interesting. So if you
put your hand
reach
in there,
on
in
and then read out what the question is. Drum roll.
Who is the best German player of all time? As in men's or women?
You decide.
Yeah, up to you.
Well, I'm going to back my old teammate, Alexander Popp.
Yeah.
Which is actually a legend.
Brilliant
she
striker.
Scores, yeah, every set piece, every cross is a goal almost, if it lands on her head.
Yeah. She had a really good World Cup as well, didn't she? I know Germany didn't quite get where they wanted, but...
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, she just, as I said, like, she can head. It's crazy.
Yeah. We also asked on social media, let everyone know that you were coming onto the podcast and put some questions in, so... picked one out that thought might be quite interesting. Still new to the squad, but they were asking, who do you think is the funniest member of the team?
We got quite a few. Yeah, Lauren Hemp makes me laugh, but she doesn't do it on purpose. But I would pick her right now. Actually, Kiara.
Yeah.
Kiara, I have to say. Yeah. She's the funniest.
So loud, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's jumping
in
all the time. Well, Jill, thank you so much for your time again. It's been really, really good to get to know you. And see you soon and good luck for the season.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're supposed to say thank you, Veld.
Oh, thank is that you. What it is? Oh.
Very so, good.
I've waited a long time to say this. It's the only word I know.
As you were coming thank in, you were thinking, I know how to say that, but I can't say it till the end. So Nedim, Jill Roard on the official Manchester City podcast. I really, really enjoyed that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, she was the same. She was, you can see how confident she is. You know, she has a belief in her own ability. And listening to her story and the way she sort of came through the ranks, that's really interesting to have to play, not even to have to play with boys, but for people to say this is the best thing for you. It's not necessarily something that lots of people will say, but, you know, she's clearly one of the best players in the world, so it definitely stood her in good stead, didn't
Yeah,
it?
For sure, for sure. I thought it was interesting as well when she named Wesley Sneijder as one of her favourite players, because you do sort of that a bit in her.
She did, and Wesley Sneijder, you know, he's great. He did play for Real Madrid, didn't he?
Yes, he did,
because then she also mentioned Ronaldinho. You got to pick a side, you know what I mean? You can't support both, but I think, Wesley Sneijder, you know, this is a Dutch great. And that's essentially what she's starting to become, if she's not there already. And you can see she's driven. She knows what she wants from her own career. She knows what she wants from her team, from herself, within any particular place. And those people that come with the confidence and the ability to back it up, right, they're great to have on your side.
For sure. It's also nice as well when you see someone who's obviously that good at what they do, but they're still so normal and grounded.
Yeah.
She was just like very, very, very nice and normal from what I saw as well.
Just chilled. That's all down to the host, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he did a good job today.
You know
what I mean? Let's forget the other guy, whatever his name is.
I'll pay you later,
No. All shout outs are free for you. But she was very, very good. You know, you can tell she's spoken to people before, podcasts, TV shows, so on. But that's always going to be the case because she's going to be so much in demand because of how good she is. And I think that sense of normality is great because it means you can just root for good people. And when they're good players as well, it's a lot more comfortable to be able to watch them on a weekend.
Always helps, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Well, Nedim, thanks again for holding my hand through this podcast. I've really enjoyed it.
No, listen, you've done a very, very good job. And if Rob has got anything about him, he's heard this and he's made it to this part. And if he hasn't, then I hope he never comes back again.
Normally I'd tell you to like and subscribe and all the normal stuff with podcasts, but this time this is a direct message to Rob Pollard. I'm gunning for you. but thank you again for listening, for watching, and make sure to give this a follow, a like, a subscribe, and let us know what you think.